Please take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 25, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12, and out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Acts, chapter 25, beginning in verse 1. 3 days after Festus arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. The chief priests and the leaders of the Jews presented their case against Paul to him, and they appealed, asking for a favor against Paul, that Festus summon him to Jerusalem. They were, in fact, preparing an ambush along the road to kill him. Festus, however, answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was about to go there shortly. Therefore, he said, "Let those of you who have authority to go down with me and accuse him, if he has done anything wrong." When he had spent no more than 8 or 10 days among them, he went down to Caesarea. The next day, seated at the tribunal, he commanded Paul to be brought in. When he arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him and brought many serious charges that they were not able to prove. Then Paul made his defense, "Neither against the Jewish law, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I sinned in any way." But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, replied to Paul, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem to be tried before me there on these charges?" Paul replied, "I am standing at Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as even you yourself know very well. If then I did anything wrong and am deserving of death, I am not trying to escape death. But if there is nothing to what these men accuse me of, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then after Festus conferred with his council, he replied, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." You may be seated. As we look in our passage, we were looking at the last part of chapter 24 on Wednesday, and we see that Paul is giving his defense before the previous governor of Israel, the Roman governor appointed by the Roman government, a guy named Felix. Now, Felix is one that is notorious for being very vile and evil. He had a brother that was very influential with the emperor in Rome, so a lot of time when Felix got in trouble, his brother bailed him out. And Felix, in the trial, initially there's flattery given to him by the Jewish lawyer, or the lawyer the Jewish leaders hired. "We enjoy great peace from you." And everyone is talking how good they like you. Well, all that is a blatant lie. If Tertullus, the lawyer for the Jews, was a Pinocchio-type character, his nose would have been growing out and out and out and out as he said all those things, because Felix was very abusive to the Jews. If you don't do it my way, I've got Roman soldiers to back up my way. He caused a lot of trouble, and so much so that he had to be removed because of the violent suppression of the Jews in Caesarea. And that's where Festus comes in. Now, it's not Festus from Gunsmoke. You know, that's the first thing you think. Yeah, that's the first thing. Now, Festus from Gunsmoke got his name from Festus from the book of Acts, but not the other way around. So don't expect Matt Dillon to come in and fix everything. And Festus did come in to straighten things out that Felix had messed up. Felix had caused all kind of trouble, and he had to be removed. He went back to Rome, and he was not given the punishment that he deserves because his brother got a lesser punishment for him just You don't have your position of authority. He was also, Felix was, a person that liked to have bribes. If you wanted your to get something done, just bribe Felix and you could get it done. That's why Felix asked to see Paul many times. He kept wanting to hear Paul offer him a bribe to release him. He knew Paul was innocent. Now, when Felix's wife came in, they listened to Paul together, and Paul spoke about several things. He talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And this really got through to Felix, because Felix was not a righteous man. And self-control, his wife was the wife of somebody else when he saw her, and he convinced her to leave her husband and come be his wife. And there's a judgment to come. Felix knew that he was going to be guilty if he was judged according to his sins. So he was terrified, and he sent Paul away, but he kept calling him back from time to time to listen to him. But he wanted to do the Jewish leaders a favor, so he left them in prison in Caesarea for 2 years. Felix is removed, and Festus comes in. Festus is not going to waste any time. As soon as he comes into Caesarea, that's the port, so he gets into port, maybe gets his suitcases and everything unloaded. He goes right up to the capital city, the Jewish capital. Caesarea is the Roman capital. That's where the Roman seat of government is, but the Jewish seat of government is in Jerusalem. He is in charge of this new area. He's going to find out what's going on, and he goes up to Jerusalem. Now remember, Paul has been in prison in Caesarea for 2 years. But one of the first things the Jewish leaders ask is, we got this guy named Paul. We want you to bring him up here so we can have judgment on him. And it says they weren't really going to examine him. They were going to assassinate him on the way to Jerusalem from Caesarea. The reason that Paul was in Caesarea in the first place, 2 years earlier, the Jewish leaders had been privy to an assassination plot, and they were going to ask Paul to be brought to them, and these 40 men were going to assassinate Paul. So the commander of Roman forces sent Paul down to Caesarea, but now the Jewish leaders, they're not privy to the assassination plot. They are the plotters themselves. They're not the ones that just heard about it and said, okay, we'll go along with it. They are plotting to kill Paul. We need to remember that those that are hostile to the truth, time does not end that hostility. There are people that are offended by the truth of the gospel because the gospel is offensive to those that are perishing. Sinners are offended by the truth. It says there's a judgment day that is coming. There's a standard by which God judges all men. It's a standard of righteousness. So Jesus, when he was telling us in Matthew chapter 5, turn with me there, about those that are blessed, he talks about a situation similar to what Paul is showing us. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. This is part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. As Christians, we should expect to be persecuted, to be insulted. It's not that they're insulted and persecuting us. It's the message that we're proclaiming. Now, sometimes we get insulted and persecuted because of something we did. But when you're presenting the truth with a clear conscience, do not expect that the world is going to love it. They have been persecuting the people that have been speaking the truth of God all throughout history. And Jesus says, count yourself blessed. Now, why would you count yourself blessed? Because the message got through. They're not going to insult you and persecute you about the truth if they don't hear the truth. Have you ever heard of a saying, you touched a raw nerve with that comment? Well, when we talk about the truth of God, we're going to touch a lot of raw nerves because people know that there is a God. They know that God is the one that's going to judge us, even though people try to say, I don't believe there's a God. Well, doesn't matter what you believe, there's still a God. And people, when there's bad things happening, they'll appeal and say, oh God, I know you're really there. Can you get me out of this situation? Well, Paul was persecuted, lied about, because he was speaking the truth. If you look at chapter 24 of Matthew, Jesus is talking about what's going to happen in the end times. And look at verse 9, chapter 24, verse 9. Then they will hand you over to be persecuted, and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Paul was hated and persecuted because he presented the truth. We are seeing that with Christians today and throughout history. People will make up all kinds of stories about Christians and try to present it the truth. These Christians are the ones causing trouble, when it's actually the accusers are the ones causing trouble. Well, Paul was facing all kinds of false accusations, both in Jerusalem when Festus first went to Jerusalem, and then after Festus went back down to Caesarea, they brought false accusations, the Jewish leaders did, when they accused Paul before Festus, even though Festus recognized that none of these accusations they could prove. But Festus wanted to please the people. Just like it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there will come a time when people will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Well, Festus wanted to placate, wanted to make things okay with the Jewish leaders because he needed to be a good governor, and the sign of a good governor over Roman territory was they don't have riots. There's no need to call in the armies, more armies from Rome. And so Festus wanted things to go smooth. A lot of times our government leaders want things to go smooth, and they will allow Christians to face the persecution because they don't want trouble. Festus didn't want trouble, so he said, okay, you want to bring these accusations against Paul? Well, come on down with me to Caesarea. He didn't just say, well, I've looked at Paul's case and you don't have any case, so I'm just going to set him free. Which a lot of times the new Roman governors coming in would do that. Now, the previous governor left all these people in prison. There's no reason for them to be here. They can go free because sometimes the previous governor just put people in jail because he didn't like what they were doing. Well, when Paul faced his accusers in Caesarea, Festus asked him, do you want to go with me up to Jerusalem and I'll sit there while the Sanhedrin tries your case? Or you could translate the Greek, I will go up and you, you'll be before me, but the Sanhedrin will be there, will be in the area where they tried to kill you many times. Well, Paul says, I'm on trial as a Roman citizen. I haven't done anything wrong against Rome. I haven't done anything wrong against the Jews. I haven't done anything wrong against the temple. I'm in the right courtroom. You need to make a decision here because you, Festus, know the truth that these accusations are false. Now, if they were true, Paul said, I'm not trying to avoid any penalty that I deserve. But you know yourself that I'm innocent. Paul sees that Festus is not going to make a verdict for the truth. So he says, I appeal to Caesar. Now, the Roman governor had the option. He could go ahead and make a verdict. Said, I'm the representative of Caesar. He could make a verdict. And if the Roman citizen did not like that verdict, he could appeal to Caesar after the verdict had been made. Paul was appealing to Caesar before the verdict had been made, which was his right. As a Roman citizen that was born a Roman citizen, they had that right. It went back way back in Roman history. And Festus confers with his council. Now, that was his council of Roman advisors that was there. And what should I do in this situation? What is your input? It'd be like the president conferring with his cabinet secretaries. What should be a decision here? Well, the consensus was, go ahead and send the case to Rome, to the emperor. You don't have to deal with it anymore. Well, what we can learn through this passage for us today, there are accusations that are not true that are going to be made against Christians just because we're speaking the truth. Jesus says, rejoice when that happens. The message got through. And great is your reward in heaven. Doesn't say they're going to give you the Nobel prize because you spoke the Christian truth. No, your reward is not on earth. It's in heaven. Also, we need to understand that it's a sign of the end times that people are not going to put up with the truth, but are just going to have people that tell them what they want to hear. You can't expect the government to provide the answers to God's truth. We see in our society today that many government officials will rather pacify the people that are bringing the accusations that are really lying instead of standing up for the truth. The truth only matters if it's convenient to some people in political power. And you can sort of tell when you, just recently we finished a political campaign season, how many lies were presented as commercials about one candidate versus another. And it seemed like almost all the candidates were equal opportunity accusers. But we need to remember, what was the end of the story? God had said, Paul, you're going to Rome. You're going to present the truth in Rome. The Jewish leaders that wanted to stop Paul's message did not get their way. Paul was going to Rome, which was all part of God's plan. Paul didn't necessarily know how he was getting to Rome. God could have worked it out that he was freed from either Felix or Festus, and then he sailed there on his own. Or God could have worked it out where he went there in chains. The benefit of Paul going in chains, he had a captive audience that listened to him proclaim the gospel, and many of his jailers became believers. Even the jailers that also had the duty of protecting the emperor himself. It's called, their secret service would be called the Praetorian Guard. And many in the Praetorian Guard became believers because they were chained to this guy that wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. They heard the message and they believed. They thought they had a captive. Paul was the one that had a captive audience. Well, we need to remember God's plan will always proceed. But he doesn't tell us how his plan is going to succeed. Paul wasn't told, you're going to Rome in chains. He said, you're just going to Rome. And God used Paul's birthplace, his Roman citizenship, to give him a way to get to Rome and to avoid the accusation from the Jewish leaders and their attempt to kill him. They wanted to stifle the truth. But God's truth proceeded on. And when Paul's in Rome, a lot of the letters he wrote to the churches that we have in our Bible, he wrote while he was chained up. God uses all the times and all the ways and all the places where we're at to accomplish his purpose. But let us not look for gratitude and praise from men. But let us look to praise from God, because we're going to spend eternity with God. That's our goal. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time we could be here. I pray that we will remember to share your truth, understanding that if your truth is offensive to people, let us understand that your truth has been offensive throughout all history, to those that are rejecting your offer. But let us not be offensive in the way we present the truth, but let us present the truth in love to all we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.